Our reading this morning is from James chapter 1 and verses 13 to 18. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created.
Fantastic. Well, do keep your Bibles open at James chapter 1. Let me pray for us as we come to God's word. Father, please speak to us this morning. Father, we all come from a different place this week with different hearts in different places with contrasting emotions. Father, help us, we pray, to sit under your words. Father, would you comfort us, encourage us, rebuke us, make us more like Jesus, we pray. As we hear you speak this morning. Amen. Well, it's great to be here. It's great to see so many people in the building. It's great to see you. Well, I can't really see you. That would be weird, wouldn't it? But welcome if you're watching online. Maybe I can see you. It's okay, I can't. I don't know about you, but I don't know if your email inbox gets kind of clogged up with scams. Or whether it's just me, but all the time I get emails from, you know, some sort of rich heiress across the world somewhere in some far-flung country saying that, look, actually I've inherited hundreds of billions of dollars. All you need to do is send me 500 quid and it's yours. You know, that kind of, those kind of emails. Or, you know, your PayPal account has been suspended. You know, you need to click this link here right away and give us all your bank details to fix it, you know, just to confirm that you can reactivate your account, those kind of things. You know, or you get a phone call, someone saying, oh, your BT broadband has been cut off. Like, I'm not even with BT. Your scams are everywhere, aren't they? They're all over the place. You know, they prey on people who aren't wise. You know, people who haven't got the skill of doing life well, of understanding how life works and operates. Well, we've already seen in the first kind of couple of weeks in the book of James that he is constantly encouraging us to be wise. As we live the Christian life, we need to be wise. We're back up at verse 5. Wisdom is something that we should ask God for. We should seek it out. Because we're going to need wisdom if we're going to be able to face the trials and the temptations that exist. If we're going to persevere, we're going to need wisdom to keep going. And so in his kind of fairly typically blunt style, this morning James has a very simple message that carries this theme through. It's there in verse 16, don't be deceived. Dear brothers and sisters, says James, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be taken in. Don't be confused. Don't be scammed. Well, by what? Well, don't be deceived by the temptation to stop trusting God when trials come. Don't give in to that temptation to stop trusting God when trials come. You see, every trial or circumstance, every moment that we meet in life, everything that kind of hits us, big or small, demands that we make a choice. It demands that we make a choice. So we can either continue to trust God and persevere, or we give in to temptation. We give in to the temptation to disobey and be disloyal. Those are the two paths that we can choose at any given moment when we face the circumstances of life. We can trust God, or we can give in to the temptation to disobey and be disloyal. It's interesting that the Greek for the word trial is the same as translated temptation. We see it in verses 12 and 13, that they're linked. This kind of trial and temptation thing is almost one and the same. They're kind of interchangeable. And what James wants to tell us is, look, you know, don't be deceived. When the trials come, don't give in to the temptation to turn your back on God and do things your own way. Trust him. I mean, do you see how, you know, when we face trial, when life is hard, whatever it may be, it always comes with it the temptation to turn away from God. But maybe someone at church is giving you a hard time. You've fallen out. Well, you know, and seeking reconciliation is going to be potentially sacrificial and painful. The temptation is perhaps just to badmouth them a bit, and then you get sympathy and attention from other people and feel better about yourself. You can trust God or give in to the temptation. Perhaps you're desperate for a relationship, a husband or a wife. And so the temptation is to start dating a non-Christian who's paid you attention at work. Maybe you get to the end of the week, you're tired, you've been working long hours, you've been striving away, and so on Sunday morning you just, you know what, I'm just going to stay in bed, have a bit of me time. Look, I can catch up on church on the live stream whenever I like. You know, maybe it's easier to join in with the crude office banter because then you'll be liked by your colleagues rather than standing out. Or it can be as simple as I've had a rubbish day, and so you're tempted by that. I deserve better, so I'll do something to make myself feel good. You know, that kind of attitude. And so in search of pleasure to kind of ease the pain of a hard day, you just give in to whatever lust is attractive to you. Do you see how your trials and temptation are linked? When life is hard, there is always the temptation to turn your back on God. It's always there. And James says, don't be deceived. I mean, it's hard though, isn't it? Like, it's really hard. You know, the temptation to give in to our own desires, our own selfishness when we face trials is very real, isn't it? It's there all the time. But James gives us motivation for persevering. Do you see the result of our choices? Look back up into verse 12, where Duncan finished last week. If you persevere under trial, what does it lead to? It leads to life. But then verse 15, giving into temptation after desires conceived gives birth to sin, which gives birth to death. I mean, it's a pretty stark contrast, isn't it? Persevere leads to life. Give into temptation leads to death. I mean, James doesn't pull any punches. There is no middle ground. But that's why he's so concerned that we're not deceived into giving in to what feels like the easy option. Because the end result is a disaster. If we give in to temptation, the end result is a disaster. He's warning us because this really matters. Now, you might be sat there thinking, well, hold on. Hold on, isn't God in control of everything? I mean, that's what Richard said a couple of weeks ago. You know, all these trials, that God is in control. He is above them all. And, you know, and so the whole point is that we can be joyful when we see God's purpose in them. You know, so if God has sent the trial, if he is in control of that, then, well, you know, it's his fault, isn't it? It can't be my fault if trials are too hard. That's what God's, you know, it's on God, surely. Well, James is kind of, he's expected that response. He's anticipated it. He says, don't be deceived. You can't blame God. You can't blame God. Look down at verses 13 and 14. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. James is very clear. You cannot blame God. The only person you can blame when you give in to temptation is yourself. You can't pin this on God. Why? But, well, God cannot be tempted by evil. He is so intrinsically and completely and utterly good and pure that the evil is repugnant to him. He can't be tempted by that, and so it follows that God doesn't tempt anyone to sin. He hates evil. He cannot do it. Well, he does test us. He does test us. Yeah, he brings us into situations where our willingness to obey is put under trial. But this is so key. It is only ever to strengthen our faith. It is only ever to strengthen our faith, not to entice us to fall and destroy it. God is not trying to trip us up. You know, it's so important that we get our heads around this. God only sends trials our way to strengthen our faith, not to derail it. Look back at verses 3 and 4. You know, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That is God's design for us. Yeah, that's what he wants. Do you see, he wants our faith to be strengthened, to be shaped, to be molded, to be made mature, to be brought to completeness. The trials that God sends are there to strengthen our faith. Go back and listen again to Richard on the brand new website. If you need reminding of how that fits together. Yeah, and there's plenty of evidence in this room. Yeah, there are countless stories of Christians who will point to times of trial and testing as being the times when they have grown and matured the most. And we've just seen a video about the church in China. Unbelievable persecution, massive growth. You know, some of you would have been here when Neil Todman came, was interviewed about the death of his first wife, Elaine, from cancer, and how through that whole process, that whole journey that they went through, they both grew in their love of Jesus. Go and watch the video of Richard interviewing Ryan that we brought out at Easter time. Very similar circumstances. And I'm sure amongst us there are many stories of individuals where you would say, actually, yeah, that time was hard, but through it I grew and I fell in love with Jesus more. My faith was strengthened through that because God brought me through. And we can't blame God. God uses trials to strengthen our faith. And look, he knows that when we endure trials, we will be tempted to sin. But we cannot say that sin is the inevitable outcome. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You're far from trying to trip us up. God is actually there making sure there's a way out. He's making sure that we are tested to strengthen our faith. We only have ourselves to blame. God doesn't have a shred of evil in him anywhere. But we do. It's our desires that get twisted. That's what gives birth to sin, says James. You know, as much as we'd like to shift the blame, we love doing that, don't we? We can't. There is a battle going on inside us all the time. The battle between our sinful nature and our new hearts. and sin that leads to death is the result of giving in to our broken desires. You don't be deceived. You can't blame God. You have to take responsibility for the choices you make in the face of trials. So choose to be wise, to stick with God and persevere. But how can we do that? How can we possibly endure? How can we possibly persevere? How can we keep trusting God? How do we do that? Well, James says, don't be deceived. Remember, God knows what's best. It might surprise you to that one of my favorite Disney movies is Tangled, which doesn't necessarily fit with the stereotype that I try and portray, but it's genius, it's brilliant, and particularly the mother knows best sequence. All right, if you don't know the story, Rapunzel, the trap princess, she starts to question whether Mother Gothel, who, spoiler alert, is not her real mummy. Okay, she's not her mummy. And she starts to question, why am I stuck in this tower? Why are you keeping me here? What's the deal? I'm sure it'd be much better if I go out. And you get this wonderful song where Mother Gothel goes, no, mummy, no, mother knows best. I'm going to keep you here. I'm going to keep you locked up here. Just trust me. Mother knows better. And to some extent, we have the same sort of declaration here from James, with much purer motives. We see that God knows what's best. But down at verses 17 and 18, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. You're the Father of the heavenly lights. You're the creator of everything. Does not change. He is utterly consistent. And he is in the business of giving out perfect gifts. That's what he does. Now look, you have to read this right. This is not some form of prosperity gospel where, it says that God will just make you healthy and rich on demand. No. Now this is a reminder that, as we've already seen in James, everything that comes from God is good. Everything. He can't tempt you to evil because he is wholly good. And the trials that come our way under his sovereign control are good, because he cannot do us any harm. Look, here's the deal. We have to realize, we have to grasp this fact that we are not the best judge of what is going to be good for us. God is. So when you're tempted to listen to that voice, that voice inside that entices you to give in to your desires, that tempts you to sin, remember, God knows what's best. He is the unchanging, consistent creator of everything, including you and me. He knows what's best for us because he knows how we work. And he wants us to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if we're in any doubts about whether or not God knows what's best, James gives us a one-liner reminder of what he's already done. Look at verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. That means he has given us new life through the gospel. The word of truth, the good news, the gospel. He has rescued us from the depths of our sin already. Look, when we question and say, how can I possibly live my life enduring through temptation? How can I keep going without giving in? We look to the one who has done it for us. The word of truth, the gospel, is about Jesus, God who became man, who experienced temptation himself, but as the writer of Hebrews says, did not sin. He did it. He did it for us. You know, that's why when Jesus died on the cross, he was able to pay the price for us. You know, he swapped his perfect life for our broken one so that we could be the first fruits of all God created. You know, his special people, the people who he will one day take to be finally and eternally with him in glory. You know, what more proof do we need that God knows what's best? You know, when we think about all he has already done for us, we can trust him in the here and now. You know, Paul sums it up in Romans 8. Towards the end of that chapter in verse 32, Paul says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? You know, it's just logical, isn't it? You know, God sent Jesus to die for us. Why is he going to stop doing what is best for us now? You see, when we face trials, whatever they are, you know, the massive, big, life-changing events or just the day-to-day battle with sin, that we can persevere. You know, we can resist temptation. Not because of any inner strength we have, but because we can trust that what is happening is the best thing for us. You know, we might not understand how in the moment. You know, it may well hurt. But we have more than enough evidence, don't we, in the gospel that God knows what's best for us, so we can endure, we can trust him. We can leave it with him. The beginning of verse 19 could almost be the end of this section. You know, James says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Don't be deceived. This is the solution here. This is how we deal with the question of how we persevere through trials, how we keep going, how we stand firm in the face of temptation. This is the knowledge that will make us wise, mature, and complete. Don't be deceived. You can't blame God. God knows what's best. So live your life trusting that his plan is good. And he wants you to grow. So stand firm. Let's pray before we sing one last time. Father, life is hard. And we all struggle in different ways to keep trusting you, to keep walking in your ways, to understand how you are working for our good. Father, we pray that you would help us to trust you. Help us to stand firm. Help us to persevere. Father, when we're tempted to give in, when we're tempted to allow our desires to speak to us in a way that entices us away to sin, Father, would you help us to remember Jesus? Help us to look to the one who did not sin, although he was tempted. Help us to recognize all that you have done for us through Jesus and trust what you are doing in the moment. Father, help us, we pray, not to be deceived. Amen.